Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Art is sprouting along Wisconsin Avenue, from John Baldessari's penguin statue in Northwestern Mutual's garden to Beverly Pepper's steel curves at the western edge of the project. This third year of Sculpture Milwaukee has brought more whimsy, beauty, and thought-provoking work to the city. The WUWM studios are directly above one of the largest installations. Commissioned by Sculpture Milwaukee, Chicago artist Carlos Rolon has taken the glass atrium of the Chase Building and enveloped it in translucent panels of bright flowers. It turns the space into something Carlos calls a jewel box. He and Mary Lou Canode, who is the Director of Exhibitions and Programs of Sculpture Milwaukee, joined me in the studio just as the installation was beginning to tell us more, starting with how they first knew of each other.
I had worked with Carlos many years ago when I was up at UWM at Innova, and I'd followed his work. We'd been in contact. I'd seen shows that you had done elsewhere. And, you know, as time went on, it's always about finding the right opportunity to work with somebody, and I just thought this would be a really excellent time for us to partner on doing a project. We sort of started off thinking, well, maybe we could do this. And the way we ended up with the decorating of the birdcage was through process. We really talked about what's possible, what would have the biggest impact too, and how can we do something that's the most crazy fun? Because, in fact, that's what people want to see from contemporary art. There are all kinds of ways you can make art that are meaningful and engaging. But with public art, scale is really critical. And sometimes really small is good, but really big is good, too. So I feel like it was just the right place. And then, of course, you know, Becky and Muggs and the Farben Group have been incredible partners. And they've been very supportive.
So.
I was going to say, did you have trouble with them at all, with the Chase folks, to even get it up?
No, they were pretty enthusiastic. And what I'm really happy about for Sculpture Milwaukee is, you know, I think with the success of this piece, we'll have more of the people along Wisconsin Avenue willing to take a chance on something that is not traditional for them, but really pretty straightforward in our world. The art world does, you see all kinds of crazy things that are meaningful because artists use the tools that are available to them today. You know, I think a lot of people think sculpture is still man on horse or mermaid in fountain, and it's everything that's
or some
on,
kind of weird angular thing that you can't quite decide what it is.
Geometric abstraction is a historically bound aesthetic generally. But, you know, to describe the continuum of life's experience through the art that reflects that, I think that's the really exciting part.
And it's very democratic as well. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things that the public can experience firsthand. And it's one of those things that no matter what background you're from, what culture you're from, it's one of those things that you want to create a visceral experience for someone. And so when they walk upon it or they see it, and what's to, you know, take a nod from what Mary Lou was saying, I mean, I've been receiving messages via social media that people who live in Milwaukee and just on the outskirts of Milwaukee, they're going to be traveling to come see the installation. And, you know, there was an architect who actually sent me a message yesterday on Facebook just saying, I work right across the street and I never even thought of producing something like this. And so the hope is that, you know, this will continue on and, you know, the story can continue after this is, you know, done and over with.
So did you have the idea for what's going in down there ahead of time, or was it once you knew you had that space?
No, I think, you know, one of the things that I've been talking about for the past few days is that, you know, when you look at the piece and you look at the installation, the immediate reaction is this fits so well. And it works so well because we've been working so hard behind the scenes. So, you know, whenever you see something happen, you know, especially in the art world and especially with what Mary Lou's doing, it's very hard to take a work of art, make sure that you place it, you know, at the right moment in the right environment. So if it looks organic, that means that she has gone through several steps with the artist to make sure that it works the right way. When we first came to the site visit, we were talking about doing something in the Skyway, and we went across the street. We looked at different vantage points. You know, I just had this, you know, sometimes I can be a horse with blinders on, and I kept thinking, you know, Mary Lou, I really want to do a large sculpture. I want to do something by the water. And, you know, maybe we can do something that can reflect off the water and take advantage of, you know, different vantage points. And then all of a sudden, light bulb moment came on and we both just looked across the ways from across the street and just saw the birdcage, which I call the jewel box. But I just looked at it, and I'm a huge fan of architecture. You know, I'm from Chicago. I collect, you know, mid-century furniture. I'm just a huge fan of Mies van der Rohe, and it had that effect. And it just, again, as soon as I saw the building and as soon as we saw it, it was like, wouldn't it be incredible to place something on that building that could take advantage of the real estate around, but in a very positive manner?
And it's such an important building architecturally.
I love it. And
yeah.
I did my history on it. And in fact, I think that the day that we went to go, when we just started talking about it, I immediately started doing research and, you know, found, you know, the architects and when it was built, I think it was 61. And, you know, so beyond just creating the imagery for it, I've done my research on the history of the building, which is really important.
Did you want to complement what you saw, or were you trying to play against it?
It's one of those things where I ended up going off on my own and taking several images from across the street, you know, kitty corner, and then I went on Google Earth and I began doing research via Google Earth, taking 360 images from the internet to really see how I can, you know, take advantage of the space and complement the architecture. So in my opinion, it should look completely natural to the real estate and to the architecture, and it should look completely natural and organic to the public. So instead of placing, let's just say, placing a large banner or sticker on something, I wanted to make sure that I worked within the structure of the building, but at the same time, I needed to keep true to my studio practice. So what you're seeing, what the public sees, and what many people may not know is that what they're looking at is an actual painting. What you're seeing are not computer-generated or stock images that I've put together. What you're seeing is actually one of my paintings that I produced in the studio.
And so when we were talking before we came in the studio and you said, you know, you opened the package and you got your Star Wars figure, that's because what's happened, you sent it out to get blown up. Right? To get into that, into the material that you're actually attaching to the building.
Correct. The feeling that we, so Miriam and I have been working with the fabricators over the course of several months. She and I have been working on this for the past year, just discussing and going back and forth. So to get down to the wire, you know, when you're working on a project, there's a sense of confidence, and then there's a sense of, there's a culpability of just, okay, this is really happening. And then there's a sense of, okay, we really have to make sure that this is done correctly. So, you know, you go through the different stages. And even though I was getting large sections of test panels that were sent to me, so what you see are maybe it's like the second or third iteration. So once I got the files, I felt that the pixelation needed to be tweaked a little bit. So I took it and I handed it off to another person that I work with to correct the pixelation. Then we work with the fabricator and we're, you know, how many passes so we can get the right amount of light that comes through that you can see outside. There really is a lot of work that goes into it. And again, being an artist in my studio and then taking myself out of the comfort zone and, you know, and thanks to Mary Lou, she's taken me out of my comfort zone because I'm able to have one of my paintings realized, you know, four stories high. But with that comes, you know, I'm very meticulous and I'm very genuine when it comes to my work. And so I needed to make sure that whatever I was going to see on the facade was exactly what I would see in my studio. So you have all these things running through your head and you start, you know, questioning certain things and then you start sending messages back and forth, you know, at 10 o'clock at night to the fabricator and making sure that things are on schedule and it's exactly how you want it. And then at some point, you know, I'm a big Eckhart Tolle fan. So, you know, I let the universe work. At some point, you have to allow things to let be and you have to let go. And you have to allow things to work as they should. So I just basically put it out. And I have to tell you that as soon as I drove up yesterday, I couldn't be happier. I literally was, it was like a kid at Christmas.
And you feel the same way?
Oh, I'm just thrilled. And because I've been looking at this little thumbnail, you know, like mm-hmm. 2-inch square thing for such a long time, I was a little concerned that wouldn't meet my imagination. It far exceeds my imagination. And often when I'm writing about Sculpture Milwaukee or artwork that I haven't seen in real life before, you know, you have a sort of a narrative around it. And yesterday I had this, I sort of flashed on the idea that, you know, nature will overtake humanity and its culture. So, you know, we found a lot of, you know, ancient cultures in deserts. But when you think about Southeast Asia, for example, the way that they can map, you know, Latin America is by, you know, from the sky X-raying things, because nature just grows back over all these monuments that we grow to ourselves, that we make to ourselves. And I think you're speaking yesterday, or was it today, Carlos, about sort of the hybridization of the plants that were brought by the Spanish to Latin America and to mm-hmm. the Caribbean is written in your pieces, too. So it seems like this beautiful celebration of nature and summer. And, you know, there's so many layers to your work. It's not just how beautiful flowers are from Hawaii or you know, Puerto Rico. It's really about how humans have always controlled nature and how nature sort of fights back against us sometimes.
I was going to say, we try to control nature. Yeah. And sometimes yep. we succeed very well,
yep.
but give it time right. and it will take over.
She'll always win.
Yeah.
Mother Nature will always win.
Always
yeah.
wins.
Yeah.
And it's also touching about migration and mm-hmm. talking about, you know, I mean, a lot of the flora that you see is man-made. You know, some of it is a hybrid, which is man-made. But and it's because of change and migration and colonization. And it's not just about one culture. I mean, this has been happening
Since
mm-hmm. humans were, yeah. I mean, a lot of it is about, you know, when the Spanish were looking for gold in the Caribbean and in the Gulf of Mexico and what the flora may have looked like before they were looking for gold and before they tore apart the indigenous lands. But at the same time, they brought over slaves from, you know, that were Jewish, North African. And so they also brought culture, and they also brought, you know, music, they brought food, and they also brought different species of plants, which again talks about the idea of migration and creating something new again.
Creating something new, and also, you know, the fear of the new thing taking over mm-hmm. the old thing of displacing it.
Correct.
Of somehow losing native things to the interlopers. But, you know, when you think it, you kind of pull back the lens a little bit and you think about it, I mean, that is sort of, that's how the world works.
It does.
Birds are dropping seeds and things are happening, and it may be happening. I mean, humans, I think, are a bigger agent of change probably than just about anything else. But, you know, we've been all changing the land and figuring it out and negotiating with each other for eons about this.
And it's okay to have change, you know, as long as it's done respectfully and it's done the right way. And, you know, but you also have to accept change, you know. So maybe there's something that you didn't see beforehand and there's something that's new and, you know, you have to accept it and work with it. So, you know, I mean, you look at gentrification in Chicago and, you know, I grew up on the southwest side of Chicago, which is, you know, when I was growing up, my family moved in the southwest side and we're one of two Puerto Rican families. And most of it was, you know, I grew up around Eastern European, mostly Polish. So I'd have klaszki on Sundays and, you know, there's Polish mass. But, you know, I actually absolutely loved it. I embraced it. And I loved, you know, and I still love the Polish culture. And that's the honest to God truth. It actually allowed me to create an installation and a project at the National Museum in Warsaw because of that upbringing. But at the same time, you know, people in the neighborhood, there was this identity crisis for me. So when I didn't see a lot of myself in the neighborhood, when I went to museums, I didn't see a reflection of me being Latino or Puerto Rican at the Art Institute. I didn't see a lot of that. And I still don't see it. I still don't see much of it today within the certain institutions. So, you know, it's part of my job is to actually tell this story. But I feel, and again, in a very democratic way, because what I'm happy about with the work is that it crosses over into pop culture, because I feel, again, if you're black, white, purple, Jewish, it doesn't matter. what background you come from, I think when you know about the work and you understand the story and about the change, and that I'm discussing change, but in about class, race, beauty, I think everyone can really understand that.
So Mary Lou, are you hoping to keep it? Or is it too early to ask that question?
Well, you know, it's interesting. That would really be up to the building owners, of course. And, you know, that's one of the great joys about the public art that we do is because it's temporary, it allows people to really sort of test their own perceptions about what they like and what they don't like. And, you know, I think the thing is, no matter what, people are going to learn a lot about sculpture this year. And I think we're really challenging people to think about, you know, again, what in their own world is, you know, cultural or created by a creative person, everything is. So can we really make that message clear to people?
And also what's important to me personally is that if I can be a voice for the Latinx community, and if also, especially what just happened in Puerto Rico with the hurricane and the devastation that happened, you know, if I can bring a voice, you know, to the island of Puerto Rico, and being an artist from Chicago of Puerto Rican descent, and if I can bring a message and actually raise awareness indirectly, you know, I couldn't be happier about that.
Carlos Rolon is a Chicago-based artist whose work, Gild the Lily, has transformed the Chase Tower atrium. Mary Lou Canode is the director of exhibitions and programs for Sculpture Milwaukee. You can find out more about Carlos's work and about all of the other sculptures on view along Wisconsin Avenue at wuwm.com.